This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا الذي بعث رحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد أيها الإخوة الكرام أحييكم بتحية الإسلام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
وعليكم السلام
وقال تعالى في القرآن الحكيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد All praise is due to Allah alone. He is worthy of all praise. We seek His forgiveness, His mercy, and His guidance. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our bad deeds and the bad and evil that's within us. We know that one who is guided by Allah, they are truly guided. One who is left to go astray will not find a guide or helper or protector after that. And I bear witness that there is no God but the one true God who has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad, peace and praise of Allah be upon him, his slave and messenger. Brothers and sisters, after greeting you with peace and mercy of Allah, we come to the second session of Fiqh Sira. And if you remember, those who came for the first session, which is a bit technical and a bit full of names, I'm sure you won't remember most of them. But it's good to become familiar with some names, because there was, after all, amongst them there were those who were perhaps liars of hadith and dropped and rejected by muhaddithin, but majority of the names I mentioned were of some major and great scholars who contributed to this ulum, this ilm, this science and this knowledge. Today, session I want to look at, so why should we study seerah? Last time it was defining what is seerah and comparing the difference between seerah, hadith, and sunnah in the various other sciences of Sharia, and also looking at the issues to do with seerah. That's what we looked at last time, and how it came about historically, and how it was recorded, and how it came to us through which channels and which books. And today is to look at why should we study seerah, and perhaps to begin with, after what we've said in the last session, is especially what we know from what I said last time. Why should we study seerah? Because there's so many holes in it that we can pick, because it's not corroborated like authentic hadith are. And I say authentic hadith, I don't say all hadith. I hope you're very clear about that. So why should we study it, especially keeping that in mind? The reality is that even despite what I said last time, studying seerah is commendable, highly encouraged. We don't put it at the same level of doing salah or fard, but rationally, if we understand and argue it, then of course it makes sense to study it, as we'll come to why. Despite what I've said, seerah gives you an overall picture of the life of Rasulullah. It does. It still is a biography, if you can take out from it things which can be rejected, which are very questionable, they still overall, there's enough material there corroborating from Quran and from authentic ahadith and from authentic narrations in the seerah to give you an overall picture of the life of Rasulullah as it progressed from his childhood till the day he departed from this world. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A light that came to bring light and shining light to the darkness in the world that we shall see. So to get an overall picture, an overall view of his life, which is not possible from the ayat of the Quran and from the ahadith. Ahadith were primarily not gathered to give you an overall picture of life. You can't get it. Because they are to do with odd incidents and to do with sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not giving you a picture of his life. Yeah? And actually, I would say to you further, I've said it before over years, that I believe the compilations of ahadith books, and Siha Sitta is part of it, although it's not a very accurate term, actually, the six authentic, because it gives the idea that all the hadith in the six books are authentic. So it's a term, not from Quran and Sunnah, but coined by some scholars later on. And it's okay to use it in general, but... And there's a difference of opinion in regards to what are included in the Siha Sitta. But majority, of course, say Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah. Ibn Majah especially has big problems because there are many hadith in Ibn Majah which are not just weak, but very weak, and also fabricated as well. But the others have them as well. Others have them as well. But to say these books of hadith, I don't recommend the public to study these books. Why? You may find it strange that I say that. It's not like the Quran, you see. The Quran, of course, there's no issue about its authenticity from Al-Fatiha to An-Nas. And Quran recital is ibadah. It is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahadith were compiled by these scholars of hadith for scholars, for ulama, actually. They compiled the best hadith they could find, and you'll see under their chapters and headings what they were to do with. They were to do mainly with fiqh issues. So ulama were going to use under category of how to make wudu, category of salah, category of nawafil, category of Quran, category of even adab and things, category of funeral prayer. Under that, a hadith were brought together, and therefore ulama look at them, and they bring all the ahadith, not from one book, by a whole variety of collections to understand a particular topic. For the lay person, it's impossible to do that. You'll become confused. Because actually you can have on two pages opposite each other of Bukhari or Muslim, ahadith which look to contradict each other and they're both authentic. But I don't want to get bogged down, I'm just giving you an overview that these books are primarily not for, even I would say Riyad al-Salihin, which were done by Imam al-Nawawi. He took a hadith primarily from Bukhari and Muslim and some Quranic ayat, and it's a lot to do with everyday life and etiquette and adab, but it includes a lot of fiqh in it as well. So you can have a topic to do with, I think I mentioned it last time, drinking water, standing or sitting. And you may come to a conclusion on the basis of one hadith that you read. But it's a big debate amongst the scholars this about just this issue, because of the evidences that are available, as I mentioned some last time. So you may come to a wrong conclusion, because then having a hadith there requires interpretation. Especially now you come to read a translation. And as I always say, and I keep saying, and I have to say it, beware of translations, not only the Quran, but then you come to books of hadith, etc. Because the translators have put their own views in the translation and often make mistakes in translating as well. So you're just reading as a layperson, you don't know what it actually is saying originally. I assure you, I've studied books, many in Arabic, and I found so many mistakes. Every week I find them every day. In poor translation, which lead you completely to a different conclusion. So... But coming back to Seerah, Sira is primarily not for fiqh issues, but to give you an overall picture of view of biography of life of Rasulullah. And I believe if you read it, despite its flaws, even of Ibn Hisham, Martin Links, which is based on Ibn Hisham in English, is a brilliant, a very good translation. It's got flaws in it, no doubt. It's got some reports here and there which are questionable, wrong, debatable, but overall, reading it produces a love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no doubt. When I studied that about 20, 25 years ago, I studied it a few times, and I remember how my heart felt and glowed for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's really very important, as we'll see. So, yeah, that's number one, why do we need to? Number two, why do we need to? Because look at the fundamental thing. Buni al-Islam, kama qala Rasulullah sallam, buni al-Islam ala khamsin. Shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Wa iqam al-salah wa itai zakat wa hajj al-bayt wa sawm Ramadan. Islam has been built on five pillars. What's the first one? Ashhadu ashhada, shahada. What do we say? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We don't finish there, do we? We say, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of our creed, brothers and sisters. So, should we not know who he is? And we're declaring he's a messenger of God. We are declaring, this is a declaration. Declaration is on conviction, is it not, brothers and sisters? Yeah? Do you go to court when you don't know anything and go and say to the judge and jury, yeah, I'll be witness? As many do nowadays, sadly Muslims as well. Do we? Is that the meaning of witness? Witness is somebody who is absolutely convinced because they've seen it with their own eyes. But this shahada, when we say, I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am convinced in my heart. And what is your conviction based on? My granddad told me, and my grandma, and my father and mother, and their great, they were all Muslims, so I'm convinced. Convinced by what? That's what mushrikeen used as an evidence. That's the mushrikeen evidence. They said, what? Do you want us to follow you, O Muhammad? When our forefathers have always come with this? Bring Abdul Muttalib back, your grandfather. And if he says you're a messenger, we'll follow him because he's one of our forefathers. That's their way of arguing. It's not our way. It's not our way. Ours is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us the criteria, send us the Furqan, send us the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, to declare that, we need to know who he is. When did he come? What happened when he came? That's part of the life story, isn't it? That's the seerah. What happened when he came? And in learning about him, so that we don't get misguided, we need to be clear about where we take the story from, and that's why I mentioned all the things I mentioned in the introduction. The introduction is technical, but I tell you it's the most crucial thing. One of our brothers said it to me. And I said to him last week, I said, it's a bit technical, I'm sorry, but he said, nevertheless, the very foundation, that introduction is the most crucial part, actually, because it'll put things in the right perspective for you, so that you don't end up being those who do mubalagha, exaggeration in the character of Rasulullah. Exaggeration in the positive direction, and exaggeration in the negative direction. Both exist. Don't they? Both exist. Because as somebody, a brother, one of you asked me, why can't we take something about the life story of a messenger of Allah because it's good? That's not the criterion for justice and truth. Yeah? By the way, what's your basis for truthful criteria? Well, if we like the story, we'll take it. If we don't like it, we'll throw it away. What kind of principle is that? That's called bias. Is it not? In fact, let me tell you something. The very people who are the reporters of false stories, making up stories, called by ulama muhaddithin, yeah, kathibin, liars, matruk fil hadith, don't take any report from them. You know what their excuse was? For many of them, that was exactly the excuse. Some of them said, oh, we saw people, these are preachers. These are preachers and du'at, who have no foundations in usul and ulum and sharia. But yes, they love Islam, etc. That we're not questioning that. It's what they do with it. There's many people who love Islam nowadays, and look at the kind of character and behavior we get. It is so disheartening. It's so disheartening. So these people said, we see people, this is 3rd, 4th century you're talking about, and these people of Hijrah. We see that people are busy with maghazi. They're actually talking about seerah. People are busy with maghazi, and they're busy with fiqh of the madahib, of opinions of the scholars. So, because we noticed that people are going away Islam, we decided to concoct hadith and put them in the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the fada'il, the virtues of various surahs of the Quran. That's what they did. This is well known if you read the books of ulama and scholars. This is what they said. This was their excuse. So we concocted hadith as though Islam, Quran and Sunnah, Allah and His Messenger left something out that they had to come and add something to it. Yeah? So actually, therefore nowadays, you find there are so many hadith to do with the virtues of the surahs of the Quran. Majority of them, I guarantee you, are very weak or fabricated. Majority are very weak or fabricated. Imam Nasafi, for example, he has a tafsir. I'm sure there's brilliance in the tafsir. But at the end of each surah, he brings a hadith, inverted commas, to do with the fada'il and the virtues of the surah. Majority of are very weak or fabricated to be thrown away. And see, this is what, and the others did that with hadith. When they were caught fabricating, I said, why are you just making up, you preachers, hadith? Ulama said to them, when do you not know that it is a mutawatir, many corroborated hadith from many sahaba, the Prophet ﷺ warned people, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa. Whoever tells a lie from me will, on purpose, will surely find their seat in the fire. This has been transmitted, this hadith, word by word from so many people and sahaba down the chains, or correct chains. And there are all various versions of it. Prophet ﷺ says, speech from me, quoting speech from me, is not like quoting speech from anybody else. He's a source of law, source of deen. So be warned about quoting from me. So some of these liars and concoctors of hadith, you know what they said? They said, no, we're not lying. We're not lying on him. We're lying for him. Play with words. We're lying for him. And they were rejected. They were rejected. See, there's a difference between ulama and transmitters of knowledge who are known by scholars of hadith as da'if, weak because they made mistakes, etc., etc., okay? Made many mistakes. But when they came to those who are not known as da'if, they were known as liars or matruk, they were left. They were not just weak. Yeah? Their weakness and transmission was dangerous. And they came with things which were unusual. So, in that, be careful, exaggeration for love of a messenger. Yes, we love him. But we don't then exaggerate and make him like they did with Isa alayhi salam. Isn't that the danger? If you say we'll take everything positive, because it sounds nice, sounds that he's close to Allah, then we can take anything. And suddenly we put him on the right hand of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, which is another concocted hadith. That he'll be sitting on the right of Allah on the Day of Judgment. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah. Or, mubalagha, part of that mubalagha, for example, you had I remember being a child, and in my qa'ida, as I was learning how to read the Quran, it had on one page 99 names of Allah. On the other page, what did they have? 99 names of the Messenger of Allah. Is there any basis for it? I tell you, this is the exaggeration I'm talking about. Putting the Messenger on par with Allah, that's the reason for it. No single thing in Quran and Hadith. For Allah, we have authentic Hadith. Inna lillahi tisa wa tis'una isman. Miyat illa wahid. Man ahsaha dakhal al-jannah. Surely Allah has 99 names. 100 minus 1. One who recounts and remembers them will enter paradise. And by the way, that's not just going Allah, and just counting. Counting means understanding. Because reciting them is like reciting anything. It's going to have an effect on your heart when you do it with meaning. And it will develop iman and taqwa in a person. Hence, dakhal al-jannah. It's not just like doing mathematical equations without any meaning and understanding. But nothing came like that for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was a mubalagh, an exaggeration. That's not to say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't have asma'ul husna. Huwa bashir wa nadhir wa da'ina lallahi wa sirajan munira. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has most beautiful name. Maybe you can find names to apply to him which go more than 99 or less than 99, but there's no 99 fixed for him. Because that was linking it with Allah's names. Don't do that. No basis for it. I'll tell you something. They even had 99 names for Saddam Hussein. Yeah, it's well known. With the Iraqis, ask them. There was 99 names going around for Saddam Hussein based on that same raising and eulogizing people. So, of course, this is the kind of thing we should be wary of. Where's its basis? What's it come from? Just because it's positive, we don't say, oh yeah, I like this, I'll take it. I don't like this, I won't take it. So Shahada is a creed. So this belief in the Messenger of Allah, this is a belief. Remember, Shahada also is not just bil lisan. Tasdeekum bil qalb. It's the tasdeek of what is in the heart. And that's really where it is. This declaration is declaring what is firm and convinced. You are convinced by it in your heart, inside yourself. It is not superficial. But something about Iman, with believers, Muslims, is very important. And that is called the quality of Iman. Our iman isn't just to repeat iman billahi wa rusulihi wa kutubihi wa liyawm al-akhir wa qadri khayrihi wa sharri. Yeah, I believe that. But of course we believe in all that. But the quality, when I say quality of iman, I mean that the feeling of iman. And when it comes to Allah and His Messenger, the feeling of what? Mahabba, love. Real deep love. And you know, love, it has various ways. There's various relationships which involve love. And you know, in the Asian community, there are many people who are confused about their love for their mother and their love for their wife. Let me repeat again. In the Asian community especially, and I've dealt with them for years in Islamic work, there are many people, many men, who are confused about their love for their mother and their wife. And hence there's a friction. Because they can't seem to differentiate that you can love both. A mother's a mother and a wife's a wife. There's no competition. And it's actually not just the men. It's also the women as well. It's mother has a part to play with this. Yeah, which then transfers itself to the next mother, which is the wife, who's going to be a mother in the future. And they carry on transmitting this rift. Oh, he's loving his wife more than his mother. The love for the wife is a totally different love. And love for the... No. So there's a different kinds of love. But there's something fundamental in that love. And that's that fundamental. So love for Allah, His Messenger, yeah, is a different kind of love. But that love and its level, I'll tell you, Iman means loving Allah, His Messenger, to the top level, above all else. So Iman in Islam, for believers, to be believers, requires not just verbal declaration and just a superficial conviction, but the quality of Iman means a deep love for Allah and His Messenger, And the depths of your love will be linked with the depths of your iman. Is that right, brothers and sisters? And is it not so that when we read Quran and when we hear a reminder or we do good works or we feel in our salah that iman, we feel the glow of the iman, do we not? Yeah? And yet when we're away from that, away from the Quran, away from the reminder, away from Ramadan, our iman, does it not tend to dim? That's the quality of iman. That's not the fact that you lost half of your iman because now you stop believing in the angels and this and that, and that's why it's become deficient. It's to do with qualities going up and down. But what's necessary is the love. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. This is in Surah Baqarah, verse 165. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, amongst human beings are those who have taken مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Instead of Allah, they have taken others as their gods. وَيُحِبُّونَهُمْ. And they love them as they should love Allah. What are these gods? People think that this refers to just statues. Oh, we don't believe in statues. Yes, it includes the statues. And mushrikun, who believe in God and believe in these statues and worship them as. But it means also those who took others, their culture, their nationality, their traditions, yeah, their desires, and love them and themselves, and love them as they should love Allah. It includes all our brothers and sisters, it does. كَحُبِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who believe, أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. They are even stronger in their love for Allah. Brothers and sisters, I've said often for years that, look, you see around us people who are godless. Well, godless. Majority are godless, even though it's a Christian society, Christian inverted commas. And their commitment and their fortitude to their traditions and ways, they are more full of that love for it and vigour for it than we. We are sort of a lazy lot about our deen and things, aren't we? Just let the time go by. I don't mean by that depth of love that we become mutanati'un, you know, these people who are harsh and severe and always judging people and strict. I don't mean that. Because actually, if real love of Allah is mentioned there, you won't find that in the character of believers. You won't find them beating people up at airports. You won't find them blowing people up because they're Christian celebrating. You won't find them blowing other mosques. This is not love of Allah, I tell you. This is a disgrace to the love of Allah. Ashaddu hubba lillah. Ibn Khaldun, the great sociologist and scholar and historian Ibn Khaldun, he said, what is more important than you and I loving Allah is that does Allah love us? Because he said there are many who claim to love Allah, but they are doing things which are not loving for Allah. Allah doesn't love what they're doing. Hot air and words for a lover, Allah's messenger, isn't what is required. Sometimes you don't need to say the hot air and words. It's your behavior that shows whether you love Allah. Not coming and shouting and bawling, like shouting in the streets, which was not the character of Rasulullah, by the way. That's one of the authentic hadith mentioned. He was not one of those who used to speak like the people speak at marketplace in the street, you know, just, but with dignity. Believers have dignity. What kind of dignity is in this kind of behavior that we're seeing all around the world from us? It's sad. So, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. They are even stronger, the believers, in their love for Allah than others are in their love for other things. Their commitment to Allah, their commitment, that's what the verse is saying. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said in various hadith in Bukhari Muslim, he said, La yu'minu ahadukum wa fi riwayatin walladhi nafsi biyadayh. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi. Hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in. Wa fi riwayatin hatta akuna ilayhi ahabba ilayhi min ahlihi wa malihi wa nasi ajma'in. Riwayatun fi Muslim. So there is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, he said, by him in whose hand is my soul. In other words, I swear by Allah. None of you really believes, truly believes, until I am more beloved. I am more beloved to him or her than his family, his parents, his children, his wealth, and the whole of humanity put together. This hadith is Bukhari Muslim. Many chains, authentic. And at one time, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu reported authentic hadith, which is mentioned in Bukhari, that he said, Ya Rasulullah, Umar bin Khattab came, Ya Rasulullah, he says, La anta ahabba ilayya min kulli shay illa ma bayna jambay. He said, Ya Rasulullah, surely I love you more than everything, Ya Rasulullah, except myself. Except myself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La Umar, hatta akuna ahabba ilayka min ma bayna jambayk. Said, no Umar, not until I am more loved to you than even yourself. So in one hadith it mentions, he repeats his statement. In another hadith it mentions, he goes away, thinks about it, comes back, and now he says completely, he says, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than even myself. And Rasulullah said to him, Al-ana ya Umar, Al-ana ya Umar, now Umar, now you've got iman, real iman. And this love, why this? Why is the Messenger of Allah, is he in need of our love? Now the billah, is he full of himself that he needs the whole world to love him? Because it, you know, makes him feel good. Na'udhubillah. This is for us. It's linked with what I said earlier. It's linked with the love for Allah. Allah doesn't need our love. Allah doesn't even need our iman. And neither does the Messenger. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does he? But that iman and that love is linked there for our benefit. For our benefit. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as some Arab Bedouins came in authentic hadith and said to Rasulullah, they said, Ya Rasulullah, Nahnu nuhibballah. Nahnu nuhibballah. Surely we love Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Qul, say, In kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni. Yuhbibkum Allahu wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. Say, if you love Allah, meaning if you're sincere in your love for Allah, it means there's consequences. What's the meaning of love? فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, follow me. Ittiba. Follow who? Messenger of Allah. What will happen then? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Remember Ibn Khaldun saying, what's more important, Allah loving you? Well, how do you want to, how does Allah love us? If we follow Rasulullah, that's an example. Not if we become vile while we think we're defending the Messenger of Allah and we behave like dogs and pigs, as we claim others are. We're vile and yet we mention Rasulullah's name, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, as we blow the people up, shouting Allahu Akbar as we blow and kill others, innocent people. Na'udhubillah, how far we are away from the truth. How could anybody mention Allah, the great, the judge, the Malik, who we're going to go to, while killing other people? This is Islam. So, loving means ittiba. And if we have that ittiba of Rasul, then Allah will love yuhibbukum Allah. The Quran says Allah will love you. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. What will the consequence of that love be? Then He will forgive you your sins. Wallahu ghafur rahim. For Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. What the ayah? Look at the ayah afterwards where it says, "Qul ati'u Allah wa Rasul." فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Say, obey Allah and the Messenger. It's already said, فَتَّبِعُونِ, ittiba of the Messenger. Now, it's like underlining it for us, making it doubly sure that we understand. Say, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. Obey the Messenger. And if they turn away, from Allah's message, say that Allah does not love those who are rejecters. And see here then, that we see that the love of Allah's messenger is actually ittiba. It's following the messenger of Allah. It's following and taking his example. And brothers and sisters, how are we able even to show part of our iman that we love Allah and His Messenger, yeah, without following? Impossible. Impossible. So following itself has been put as a criterion of our love for Allah and His Messenger. Following the Messenger who shows us the way, shows us Sirat al-Mustaqim. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to corroborate that for us, tells us about the Messenger of Allah. So many praises and so many places in the Quran about mentioning about the character of Rasulullah. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ in Surah Al-Qalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for surely, and it's using إِنَّكَ, for surely, for definitely. لَعَلَىٰ, not Allah, لَعَلَىٰ, for definitely, for surely again. Ala khuluqin adin. You have been put on the greatest, the best of characters. You, Messenger of Allah, Rasulullah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, because he was going to be one that we're going to follow, so Allah sent the best. Allah sent the diamond amongst the diamonds, the jewel amongst the whole of humanity. He sent at the end, the final Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم أنا سيد ولد آدم يوم القيامة ولا فخر. In authentic hadith, what did he say? He said, I will be the leader of the children of Adam on the day of judgment. I am saying this without boasting. There's no boast in this. In other words, I'm telling you a fact, who I am. We don't know who he is. We Muslims don't know who he is. We Muslims twisted. We Muslims are ignorant. We use words we don't really know. If the preachers are ignorant, that's why the masses are like they are. Because the preachers are ignorant. Not all of them. Don't get me wrong. Many preachers are ignorant. And in their ignorance, vile message and vile pictures being given, which of course the public are taking, or some from the public, certainly who are full of hatred and not even got insaniya. They haven't even got basic human values, never mind Islam, what came to lift those values. Why? Why? That's what, after the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning His greatness and His character, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Indeed, you will find the Messenger of Allah a beautiful, beautiful model. Uswatun hasana, فهو لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخرة وذكر الله كثيرا. For the one who looks forward to meeting with Allah, who is looking forward to Yawm, the day, the final day. In other words, one who is expecting it, the final day, and remembers Allah much. There's your example. There's your example. The one who said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. For surely, رواه أحمد والبخاري في أدب المفرد. This hadith is in Ahmad and it is in Bukhari, but not in Sahih Bukhari. It is in his book called Adab al-Mufrad, The Etiquette of a Person. In there, this is still authentic hadith, that surely I was only sent, the Messenger of Allah said, to make good, to perfect good behavior. To perfect good behavior. So we have insaniya, the fitrah that Allah created us. So He came to perfect and take it to a different, raise it to a different level. A level which is full of mercy, patience, fortitude, forgiveness, overlooking, wiping away sin. Not judging and denouncing and destroying and killing people. Never mind Muslims. Non-Muslims. Sinners. Brothers and sisters. There's a man who the Prophet knew. Mentioned the authentic hadith, name of Abdullah, but people used to laugh at him. Some used to call him a nickname, Donkey. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said in hadith, he was a bit of a joker. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to make him laugh. He used to make the Prophet ﷺ laugh. He was brought for, after the ayat came for forbidding drinking alcohol, khamar. He was brought and he was given the punishment of lashing by Rasulullah. And then he was caught on two or three occasions. He was brought on a few times. So he's being punished again. And some Sahaba, one of the Sahaba, started saying, may Allah have curse on you. We'd be doing a lot more than that. You know what the Prophet ﷺ said? Even though this guy is a sinner, Allah SWT told this other Sahabi off and said, no, don't say that about your brother. Don't say that about your brother. For I know that he loves Allah and His Messenger. Do we think like that for our brothers and sisters who are doing wrong? No, we don't. We think it totally the opposite. We are the first to condemn and kill and banish and denounce. Look at Rasulullah SAW. No, don't say that. He loves Allah. I know he loves Allah and His Messenger. He's just fallen. He's made a mistake. So there's forgiveness. He loves Allah and His Messenger. And about loving Allah and His Messenger, subhanAllah, what can I say? Sahabi in Jummah khutbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the minbar giving Jummah khutbah. Sahabi comes and just stands up in the middle of the khutbah. Ya Rasulullah, mata sa'a. So the other Sahaba say, no, it's bad etiquette to speak. So they don't speak either. The other Sahaba go, we don't listen to them. He stands up a second time. Ya Rasulullah, mata sa'a. When will the hour come? You know this hadith, very famous hadith, beautiful hadith. So a second time. And then he said, then he gets up a third time and does it again. Ya Rasulullah, matasa, when will the hour come? Now the Prophet ﷺ stops his khutbah, in the middle of his khutbah. And he says, Astaghfirullah, how dare you, you rude. You know, you've been told by my companions, how dare you behave like that? Chuck him out. He didn't say that. He answered his question. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, وَمَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا. What have you prepared for it that you're asking me something like that? فقال, he said, مَا أَعْدَدْتُ شَيْءٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. In one way, he said, I haven't done anything for it, Ya Rasulullah. Poor miskin. The believer, the sahabi. Look what he says. In one word, a version, he says, I haven't Ma'adatu kabir min as-salah wa siyam. I haven't done lots of salahs and lots of fasting, you know, like we claim we are really muttaqi people. We have the uniform on and we've had the hat and the long beard and I'm always, you know, I must be going to prayer. No. Humility. This man saying, yes, I've done nothing. I've not really prepared anything. Walakin ana uhibbullah wa rasulah. But I love Allah and His Messenger. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أنت مع من أحببت then you will be with the one you love. صلى الله عليه وسلم. Anas says, and we were so happy that day when we heard from the Messenger of Allah's mouth this statement. for a poor miskeen who's not done lots of good deeds. Can you imagine the busra and the good news for us all? And there it corroborates for us the need for loving Allah and His Messenger. Yeah? The sinner, like you and me, loving Allah and His Messenger. We have every chance to be saved from the fire, my dear brothers and sisters. If we just show some humility and mercy to others, so Allah will be merciful to us. And they said, we were so happy that day, we had never been so happy as we were that day. As we were that day. Because of the good news. Good news. Because they never, this is Anas. They didn't see themselves, oh, we're all heading for paradise, where's Sahaba? They're worried about hellfire and they want good news like this. Which wipes away with a stroke, a statement like that. From Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll be the ones with the ones you love. And you know, so the Messenger of Allah who sent us that example and says, I've only been raised up the salih al-akhlaq, salih al-akhlaq, oh, makarim al-akhlaq, as it comes in another hadith, which is mentioned by Al-Bayhaqi and Al-Bazzar. It shows you what he was sent for. He's sent as a very example for us, to exemplify for us, to show us. And why then we find an authentic hadith when Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha is asked about his character, the famous statement of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha is Kana khulqu al-Qur'an. His character, you want to know about his character, they came to the Tabi'een who came. His character was the Quran. He was a walking, talking Quran. Not because he was just spending time talking, giving verses of the Quran day in, day out. No. He lived his life according to the Quran. He's showing you. He came to exemplify. This is a very important point, brothers and sisters. And this is the importance of the Messenger of Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send the Quran down to us via Jibreel in a vacuum directly in a book so we can all access it and understand and follow it, like some people claim, who call themselves the Quraniyun. You may have heard of the term. In Arab countries, some of them, they say Quraniyun. In Pakistan, they were known for following Parvezis. Who reject what? They reject the Sunnah. They rejected Hadith. Because they said, oh, this, we don't know if it's weak, fabricated or what. So they threw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say in English. And it's a very common trend, by the way, now. You think, wake up. There are many youth who've been confused by Hadith and who have these ideas, which I mentioned to you last time, that Hadith are like Gospels. They're just made up anyhow. They were made up 200, 300 years later. They have been brainwashed by Orientalist writings and those foolish people amongst the Muslims who read the Orientalists instead of the real history of Hadith, which I mentioned to you last time. And therefore, they just think, oh, we just need the Quran. They have, I say, and I've said it before, they have removed the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam out of the Shahada like as though he was a decaying tooth. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. You cannot say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah and then say, no, we just follow the Quran, we don't need hadith, it's for us to interpret. The Quran didn't come in a vacuum. It came via Jibreel to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he wasn't sent just to read it to you. He wasn't sent just to read it to us. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْهُ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. For surely indeed Allah favored the believers. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ. He favored the believers when he sent to them from amongst them مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. إِذْ بَعْثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. He sent a messenger amongst them, from amongst them, from the human beings. Doing what? يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. Reciting to them His ayat, Allah's ayat, Allah's message. But he didn't stop there, did he? وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And to purify them. A was he purifying them? It's a separate thing to yatlu alayhim ayah. Didn't say yatlu alayhim ayah, full stop. And to purify them, he purified them by his presence and his tarbiyah and his training and nurturing. وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ we can stop there, I don't know if the ayah goes on like that, but and to teach them the book and the wisdom. The wisdom. What's the wisdom? You know, you have knowledge and then you have understanding. Knowledge is the first stage, which is just rote. You can fill a parrot with knowledge. Yeah, you can just carry on repeating. Knowledge, then comes understanding. And the evidence of your understanding is your application of the understanding. What's that called? That's called wisdom, hikmah, isn't it? How do you apply it? You say that person's really wise because they understand the situation, and raw knowledge being applied is wisdom. So hikmah is how he applied and showed how to apply it, which is his sunnah. That's why Imam Shafi'i said, hikmah here means sunnah. Which is true. Some people say, oh, Imam Shafi'i was the first one to come out with this idea. No. Imam Shafi'i just pointed that word out, hikmah, which Sahaba Tabi'in had already been following. It's the most ridiculous idea that Imam Shafi'i, who died in 250 plus whatever, he's the first person who pointed out. So for 250 years, nobody followed the sunnah. What a load of codswallop that is, for those who claim it. So the sunnah of Rasulullah was already being followed by Sahaba. They were seeing him as an example for them. Yeah. وَإِنْ كَانُوا, here he goes, the end of the ayah, وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And before that, they were in clear error, manifest error. He came to show the way. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah SWT says in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah SWT says to the family of Rasulullah, to the wives of the Messenger of Allah, he says, وَذْكُرْنَا مَا يُطْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَذْكُرْنَا مَا يُطْلَى. Saying to the wives of the Prophet, so remember and remind yourselves what is recited in your house, in your homes. What was recited? Primarily, if Messenger of Allah spending his time with his wives, he's there, so they are the first to have availability of what is being revealed to him, although it wasn't just revealed when he was in his house. But if that's his family, then they'll perceive and see most of revelation, will they not? وَذْكُرْنَا مَا يُطْلَى مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. What is recited from the ayat of Allah in your homes, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and of wisdom. What else is there besides the ayat of Allah? The wisdom of the sunnah of Rasulullah. And it is well known the Sahaba used to learn from Rasulullah, not only the Quran, but his ahadith. And some of them were on rota. This is corroborated from time of Sahaba. They used to go on rota. Umar had a rota with another Sahabi because he was busy, because they were in trade. There were those Sahaba who were Ashabu Sufa, who were like unemployed, they were very poor. They were sitting all the time there. But Sahaba otherwise used to take turns. And the ones who were there used to again go and teach what they had learned to the others. So they're doing this dhikr, reminder of the teachings of Rasulullah. Or he said this today, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, writing it down, some of them, and others learning it off by heart and transmitting. This is what's going on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Messenger of Allah, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He doesn't speak from himself in Surah Najm. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَىٰ مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَىٰ وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He doesn't speak from his own desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. What he says is only that which is revealed to him as wahi. عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَىٰ. So his words, his actions and behavior are under guidance, under wahi. The Messenger of Allah is coming with wahi, not only through the Quran, but what he is teaching. Some said, ulama said it was from his ijtihad. No, it's actually under his wahi. And he clarifies when it's just his, on the rare occasion, when it's just his opinion. Like they say at the Battle of Badr or Uhud, they say, Ya Rasulullah, you want the people in battle to stand here, stand there. Is this your opinion, Ya Rasulullah, as a human being, as a leader? Or are you saying that under revelation? He said, no, this is just my opinion. So they say, Ya Rasulullah, can we suggest something better then? So he clarifies, you see. Otherwise, they know that we have to follow it. This is under wahi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qur'ans tell you, you can't just take him out of the equation. You can't take him out of the equation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and before I go there, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said an authentic hadith, which is mentioned in Ahmad and Tirmidhi by Abu Dawood as well, as though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had foresight that this time was going to come. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in authentic hadith, he said, Ala inni utitul kitab wa mithlahu. Have I not indeed been given the book and something similar to it? What was this similar thing he was given? He didn't come out with a smaller book and said, by the way, it's this book. Or his staff and said, by the way, it's this. Or Ali Dadan said, by the way, it's him. Or Mithlahu. He's Mithlahu. He's Sunnah. He's teaching. His wisdom. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under wahi. Wa Mithlahu. Ala yushiku rajul shab'an ala urikatihi. Soon will come a person, yeah? Shab'an means full in luxury. Yeah? Not from difficult times, from our kind of times. Yeah, fattened and healthy and living a good life. Sitting on his sofa, ala urikatihi. Relaxing back on his sofa. That's how the Prophet is describing him. And what will he be saying? Yaqul, alaykum bihadha al-Qur'an. He'll be saying, just follow this Qur'an. فَمَا وَجَدْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ حَلَالٍ فَأَحَلُّهُ وَمَا وَجَدْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ حَرَامٍ فَحَرِّمُوهُ. And whatever you find that it makes halal, the Qur'an, meaning only the Qur'an, then make it halal. And whatever you find in it that's haram, make it haram. So the Prophet said, that kind of person is going to come, who's ignoring what else I've been given. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, warning about that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. And how many places it mentions again, أَطِعُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ, as I mentioned in the ayah before for you. Obey Allah and his men. How are you going to obey Allah and his messenger? Yeah? When you reject the whole of the life or authenticity about his sayings and his doings and throw it away and say, oh no, I'll just follow the Quran. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ. More so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, I'm giving you evidences from the Quran, because if I give you evidence from hadith, these people say, well, we reject hadith already, so what kind of evidence are you giving us? So therefore I'm giving you evidences from the Quran, which they have to accept as they do, otherwise become complete kafir. But to reject hadith puts them in a very tricky situation of being deviants, because actually to reject hadith and sunnah, let me clarify, would leave us with hardly anything we can follow. To the extent, my brothers and sisters, where are five daily prayers mentioned? Quran or Sunnah?
Sunnah.
It's not in the Quran, by the way. It's not in the Quran. It is in the Sunnah. So a person who follows that will not even pray five times a day. And actually some of them pray three times a day. They just destroyed the whole of Islam. This is kufr. Anybody who says that you don't need to pray five times, you need to pray three times a day, this is takfir. Of course, when I say kufr, I don't mean beat him up at the airport and let's go and hang him. I say it's ignorance. That's what we say. May Allah guide them.
They're not Muslim, then.
No, if somebody claims that. Yeah. If somebody just says, I reject the sunnah, then we say fasiq and deviant. Yeah. Fasiq and deviant. But if they clarify their position on things like salah and fasting, how to do it. Salah, how to do it. There's nothing in the Quran. It's all from Sunnah. Some of them claim, oh, that's been handed down to us Because people watched others and then they watched others and so we just watch others. So if you go down that line of watching, people introduce all kinds of bid'ah and all kinds of foolish things. Are we going to then just take on board whatever it came? It's just a silly, foolish idea, actually. But it is prevalent. It is prevalent because of ignorance about the deen. And there's so much more. That actually, the Islam, its practice will disappear. Because Quran mostly comes with, of course it says, the obligation of salah is in the Quran. The obligation of fasting is in the Quran. Obligation of hajj is in the Quran. But how to do the hajj, how to do even fasting, is all from sunnah. خذوا من أني مناسككم. Take from me the hajj rites, how to do it. Prophet ﷺ showed them. صلوا كما رأيتموني وصلي كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Pray as you see me pray. He showed them how to perform the salah. It's wajibat and it's sunnah, etc., etc. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ. O Muhammad, we have sent down to you the dhikr. What's the dhikr? The Quran. For what purpose? لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. So that you can explain to the human beings what has been sent down to them. Quran is saying it. So where's his explanation? If you're just going to follow the Quran. The Quran is saying to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so you can explain to them what has been sent down to them. So where's his explanation? If you're just going to follow the Quran, you're not going to find it. His explanation is his sunnah. His explanation is his sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible through his ummah, through the Sahaba, and through the early generations, through human beings, the whole science of the Ulum al-Hadith, which doesn't exist with any other nation from past, present, or future, just with Muslim Ummah. It's a very special thing linked with the deen. وَمَا آتَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَهُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the messenger give you, take from it. Whatever he stops you from, then stop it. Whatever the messenger. And there's many other ayahs, but we're running out of time and I want to mention a few other things. Brothers and sisters, loving the messenger is primary, as I said, is to follow. And let me say a bit more about that, because the love is so that, because reality is we need role models, young and old. Yeah? And our role model for us was Rasulullah. That was what meant to be. If we and our families don't know anything about Rasulullah, then there'll still be role models, because that's the nature of human beings. We copy and imitate one another. If you stop one, it's not suddenly that we'll just grow up in a vacuum without a role model. No, we will take others as role models. And in this society, it's full of, on the basis of imitation and role model, you have the advertising industry. Do you not? Get some star, some footballer who kicks a ball around, some actor or actress to come on an advert, spend millions on that advert, because it must give some kudos back, mustn't it? Yeah? And they will go crazy following, including ours, families and ourselves.